You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we go. What a difference a day makes, huh? He got a but no, it's okay.
I can't turn off.
Do you need to? Or do you just want to?
Never
mind. All right. We got, I'm sure everybody has heard by now about the shooting at Fort Hood. And we were sitting here talking about this over the dinner table, and it's absolutely amazing. No, absolutely embarrassing. Hilarious. Frustrating. Funny. Weird. Weird, strange, funny. Funny, strange, not funny, haha. Why would the United States Army need to call 911? Why are there not armed people all over that base? Yeah, his aviators has been out of the loop here. Yeah, another shooting at Fort Hood. So far, 4 dead, 14 wounded, and 3 of them in critical condition. There may be more dead later. So, and of course, the shooter, according to the official story, killed himself, which is a little, always brings a little suspicion into the story as far as I'm concerned. Terrorism? No, wasn't terrorism. Absolutely not, because a Muslim didn't do it. It was a soldier. And apparently he had some mental health issues and maybe PTSD, I don't remember, and some stress and depression and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, pumpkin cat, that's what I'm thinking. Of course he killed himself. When they do that, then there's no, you know, the anti-gunners are going to have a ball with this. I'm sure Obama's just licking his chops and rubbing his hands together and say, ha ha, I got him now. Yeah, he's going to get more support for his agenda. He is not quite finished destroying America, but he's working on it awfully hard. So, well on his way though. And I was listening to this Fruit Loop Lieutenant General here a while ago. I think he's the post commander or some kind of big wig commander there. And yeah, get the guns from the vets. That's what I'm thinking's coming here. We every time something like this happens, then there's more pull towards getting the vets guns, no matter what your background is or what your history, your mental health, doesn't matter. All you have to be is a vet. The general up there, the commanding general, Lieutenant General Weiner or something, I don't remember what his name is, was asked by a obviously astute reporter there about concealed carry, and he said it's illegal on post, and he doesn't endorse it or condone concealed carry on a military base anywhere. And the guy went on to ask, well, how long did it take the cops to get here? And he said they got here very quickly, only minutes, you know, 10-15 minutes. Oh, I see. So a little more proof of when seconds count. The cops are only minutes away, 10-15 minutes. Do you know how many people, if I had the ammo, I couldn't carry enough ammo, probably, But do you know how many people I could kill if I had a notion to in 10 or 15 minutes? If I was standing in a target-rich environment, as he was, in a mall or a school, a church, military base, whatever, unopposed, do you have any idea how many people I could put down in 10 or 15 minutes? Geez, how many times does this have to happen? What do these people not get? I mean, this has gone on for 30-something years now. Of course, it's been the most shootings and stuff, obviously, in the last less than 20. But, very few before that. But it seems funny, and you know this should go without saying, and I'm not just bringing up an old thing that somebody else brought up, but why don't we ever see shootings like this at a gun show? Why don't you see shootings like this at a county fair? Someplace where there's country boys and men, marrying men that's carrying equipment. I mean, not just a gun, I mean equipment. Somebody that has the testicular fortitude to do something with anything. A nail file, a Bic pen, a briefcase, a high-heeled shoe, a Coke bottle, a rock, a 2x4. How many damn weapons? You know how many weapons there is laying within 5 feet of me right now, not counting my gun? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 good ones right here, almost within arm's reach. Normal, everyday, ordinary stuff. There's a bottle of Tabasco, big bottle of Tabasco, worked pretty good. I've got a napkin holder made out of horseshoes right there. I'll guarantee you I could screw up somebody's day with that real bad. There's three chairs here. There's a small little shelf here. It's about 2 foot tall and foot wide. Could swing pretty good. There's a lamp. There's a real heavy metal briefcase that I carry some important stuff in. I mean, there's all kinds of things here I could use if I needed to. But you don't ever see. You see, where do you see shootings like this? Kindergarten, elementary school, college, high schools, military bases, where the people are treated like kindergartners, places where people cannot carry guns. And it's very effective. I'd like to see sometime how someone with... Let me tell you about a Glock torture test that was done several years ago. Probably 9 years ago, 10 years ago. They took one single solitary lone Glock 23 and 1,000 rounds of ammo, and they put that after many different torture tests. I won't get into what all that was. That's irrelevant. What matters is they fired 1,000 rounds through that gun in... what was it? I don't remember what it was. Just a few minutes, anyway. They did several tests there, and that's what it was. That's what they fired. The one part of it was 1,000 rounds, but they did numerous other things that added to the round count. The 1,000 rounds seems to me it was in something like maybe 6 minutes or something like that. It was just insane. They had 6 shooters, 15 high capacity or 25 high capacity magazines, and they put 1,000 rounds on target. I mean, these 1,000 rounds at 7 or 10 yards, whatever it was, all 1,000 rounds were put into a hole the size of a cantaloupe. What could somebody that really knew what they were doing do in an environment like that in 15 minutes while we're waiting for these? these brave MPs that showed up so quickly to take care of this problem. And then they say the woman, the female cop that showed up out there in the parking lot to confront this guy is being heralded as some kind of hero, and he shot himself. I'm a hero. I watched him shoot himself. That makes me the winner. Well, color me as unimpressed. No sabe. I don't get it. United States military. Just call 911. Kilo, I'll guarantee you I would not want to follow that general into battle. I'd be more scared of him than I am the enemy. I think he's a puppet. I think he is. I just don't have any use for people with that attitude. And let's see. Let me see if that's the right. His aviator just put a test out there. Let me see if that's the same one that I'm talking about. This has been done more than once. The first one was. It was very impressive and very very comprehensive. They didn't just stand out there and shoot 1,000 rounds. They had they fired a control accuracy target and recorded it prior to that, and some other stuff. So let me see here. If no, this is not it. James Yeager had nothing to do with this test that I'm talking about. I've seen this one. I've watched him do it. It was nothing like the other one. I'll see if I can find that during the break. It's a real good one though. But I've been listening to this and I'm still watching it. I've got the sound turned down and watching for any developing news here. So wait. That's not it. Wait a minute. Does anybody else know what happened today? I mean, today, not very long ago. Anybody got an idea? Some other significant little news thing? Now, it's when you read the whole story, it's not that significant, but it happened at a time when it sure as heck seemed like it was significant. Well, don't look like anybody's got it. I'm waiting. Come on, guys. You got to get with the game here. There were shots fired at Kent State. Kent State was locked down just a few minutes after, an hour or so after the Fort Hood shooting. Now, according to the official story, it's on lockdown after a report of someone firing a single shot into the ground. Okay, they didn't know that at first. It was a shot fired on campus. And their police now are looking for a man wearing basketball shorts and carrying a silver handgun. Now that narrows it right to hell down, doesn't it? Let's see. Kent State students reported hearing an additional announcement about shots fired inside a business building. People on campus are being told to shelter in place. So that was from, 10:21. That was about an hour ago, so I don't know what, 2 hours ago. So I don't know what happened after that. So, there you go. The question writes at risk, what was the other significant news item today? And that was that there were shots fired at Kent State. And there, the college there was put in lockdown after these shots were fired. Now, apparently no one was injured. It doesn't seem to be a very big deal, except for the fact that there was shots fired from a handgun on a college campus. And that's kind of a big deal to a lot of people. But, wow, so many there. Now, wait until you hear our illustrious president. I've been waiting. I don't know if he's given an official speech yet here or not, but I'd like to hear it. Pumpkin Cat, what 14-year-old Pakistani girl was? I don't know what you're talking about. That one got by me. I don't know, I have any clue what you're talking about there. You'll have to enlighten me with your wisdom. Let's see. Let me check here. We got lots of incoming stuff coming on here. All right. It appears here we have a little bit of a history lesson here for you. So, the when did military bases become gun-free zones? Anybody got an idea? No, don't Google it. Just tell me what it is. Anybody got an idea when it got to a point where only MPs can carry firearms on military bases? That was about 20 years ago, under Comrade Clinton. That was when all that started. So color me as unimpressed again. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, Iran, and wherever in the hell else they are over there, there are more than one person carrying guns on post in their little camps and their bases and their temporary army post and whatever it is they have over there. They're carrying guns. But here in America, they're not. Not only they're not, but you can't. You can have guns on campus, but they are, on military bases, but they are exceedingly regulated. They, for the most part, have to stay in the arms room with your military weapons. I'm not sure. Officers, I think, can have theirs. I don't know about everybody. I could be wrong about this, so don't quote me. But they may or may not be able to carry them into housing areas if they live on post. I'm not sure about that. I never lived in on-base housing. I was always in the barracks while I was there. So anybody in the barracks has to keep their guns in the arms room with your M16, your M4s, and everything. So okay. I know who you're talking about here, Pumpkin Cat. This little girl you're talking about, I just talked about her a couple of weeks ago. And she has promoted education and has been a opponent, I guess, of... been a proponent of women's rights and all this. I don't remember what the whole story was, but I recognize the picture, and we just talked about this just a little while ago. Apparently, today, she was shot in the head and killed. And, no, maybe not killed. Hang on. Just looking at this after Pumpkin Cat posted the link there. Let's see... One of them said, one deal here said she was shot and wounded. Let me find out if I can see the whole thing here. Let's see. It looks like she was shot in the forehead, injuring two other girls. Witness said a bearded man had asked for the girl by name before opening fire. Her work earned her international recognition, numerous peace awards, after she was revealed as the brave seventh grader who wrote an anonymous blog for the BBC's Urdu service when the Taliban controlled Swat in 2009. But it also brought death threats. On Tuesday, a spokesman for the Pakistan Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, accusing her of promoting Western secular values, which she did. Let's see... Said it shot her in the forehead, and I would assume that she was killed. But it says all three girls are in stable condition, so actually she did not die. So there was three girls all together. It looks like the other two were injured when the target girl was shot. You know what? That's why we talked about this. This is an old story. Now I'm Confucius. This was a girl who was shot and survived and come back to hunt. I have no idea why they put this back out there. I shouldn't have said anything until I read it. So I think nothing has changed really since the last time that we've done this story. Not sure. All right. Well, I piddled around with that long enough here that it's now break time. So let's go take a little break. Let me move this out of the way. And I'm going to put this down here on account of I like it. And put that right there because I like it too. And then we'll be back.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Greetings from Anonymous. The United States government is seeking to end the Constitution. This will endanger the American people, and we will not stand by and watch while this government of deception prepares to rip away from us all of the freedoms that our forefathers granted us. The freedoms that were fought for, bled for, that our ancestors died for. We must ensure that blood was not shed in vain, that their lives were indeed lost for a great nation that is not yet lost. We refuse to let the United States government destroy our way of life. The United States government insists on labeling us as terrorists. The question is, who do we terrorize? Is it probable that the United States government is truly afraid of we, the people? Nevertheless, the time for action is now. It is time to remind the government that we, the American people, are the ones who hold the power of this country, not them. The American people have realized that the current government is no longer functional. Our economy is unstable, our representatives incooperative, and our system destroyed. We are not calling upon the collective to deface or use a distributed denial of service attack on a United States government agency website or affiliate. We are not calling upon the people to once again occupy a city or protest in front of a local building. This has not brought on us any legislative change or alternate law. It has only brought us bloodshed and false criticism. For the last 12 years, voting has been useless. Corporations and lobbyists are the true leaders of this country and are the ones with the power to control our lives. To rebuild our government, we must first destroy it. Our time for democracy is here. Our time for resolution is here. This is America's time for revolution. To restore our constitutional rights. To once again be free. Therefore, Anonymous, along with the American people, have decided to openly declare war on the United States government. This is a call to arms. We call upon the citizens of the United States to stand beside us in overthrowing this corrupted body and call upon a new era. We refuse to be police state. We refuse to be brutalized and dehumanized by the very people our tax dollars fund to protect our cities and streets. We will not allow the government to control our destiny, our right to build a life for ourselves. We demand freedom from government control, taxation, repossession and death. You will not come to our doors and take our guns, our property. You will not force the citizens of this great country to participate in the unlawful act of government-mandated health care. We the people refuse to put in your control our health, our bodies, our minds, our lives. We will not grant permission for the government to deploy drones over our homes and communities. We must end the Federal Reserve. A private central bank should not issue our currency, set interest rates and run our economy. Rather, we need to return control over the currency to the American people where it belongs. You, the United States government, have overstepped your privileges for the last time. Our peaceful actions, patience and restraint have been demonstrated as we watched and waited for our Congress and representatives to speak for the American citizens and protect us from the tyrant that sits in the Oval Office and happily strips the American people of our rights, one by one, executive order by executive order. We have waited long enough. The Declaration of Independence establishes the supremacy of the people and the right and duty to defend the rights of the people over the acts of the government. Our Constitution provides for as many protections as possible to ensure that the government is subservient to the people and only exists for the purpose of serving the people. However, should these protections fail, it is up to the people to rise up against the government and to put the government back in its place. In this capacity, the people act as the fourth branch of government to take control and to override their decisions that violate the fundamental rights of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By what means do the people exercise their authority over the government? That depends on how resistant the government is to complying with the will of the people. In the case of the Declaration of Independence, it meant declaring war on the government and overthrowing them. This is obviously a last resort after taking other steps less harsh. Have we not tried? It is clearly the right and the duty of the American people to overthrow the government in order to restore the United States as a government to serve the people. This is clearly established in historical precedent. This is that time. We have exhausted every other option. Our government has ignored us. We must take action to ensure our freedoms. When the government violates the Constitution, it is the duty of the people to rise up against the government to bring them back into compliance with the Constitution. Our allegiance is not to the government. Our allegiance is to the American people, because they are us, and we are them. We the people have both the power and the responsibility to maintain our government in a manner that best serves the people in the pursuit of life, liberty, freedom, and the citizens of America. You are not alone. There are millions beside you. You will know when it's time. When the government attacks your words, we fight with voice. When the government attacks your guns, we fight with our weapons. To the Small Arms Treaty, you will not remove the Second Amendment on July 27, 2012. We are anonymous. We are Americans. We never forgive. We never forget. We will fight for our rights. To the United States government, it's too late to expect us. Operation American Freedom engaged.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for
Okay, we're back. I checked up on the super volcano in Sweden, and that's an April Fool's joke. It's not true. However, while I was looking for that, I found a little more information on what we talked about last night with the super volcano in Yellowstone. They say now, and this is an old story. It was it's not that old. 4 months ago, that they think that this super volcano that's under Yellowstone now is even bigger than they thought. The study here is measuring the earthquake activity around the park in Yellowstone Park, said that the was about 2.5 times bigger than previous estimates. So that could potentially be a more serious problem. They say that it could be, and when I was saying last night, and I still believe this, when you're on the island, I say it's survivable. It doesn't mean that the whole world's not going to be impacted from this. I still think that there, and I may be completely off base here, but I still think that it is survivable, providing that people have some kind of a plan and have some idea of what to do. There may not be one single organism in the United States that survives. If this thing was 2.5 times bigger than what they think it was, then all bets may be off then. This was assuming that it was the size that they thought it was 6 months ago. So they said it last erupted 640,000 years ago, and a cloud of ash covered the whole of North America, affecting the climate. And I believe that to be true. It says a cloud of ash. It doesn't say that it buried entire areas, that far away. And like I said, they found a foot of ash in Iowa that they say is from that volcano in Yellowstone the last time it erupted big. So we'll just have to wait and see, and I hope we don't find out, because I think it's going to be a very, very bad thing. But they say that there'll be plenty of warning signs for something that big. And in spite of what the movie says, they said that there, if this were to happen, that there'll be lots of signs and give everybody lots of time to pick where they want to die, I guess, basically. But anyway, we talked about that enough yesterday. Where to start now? We got so many things to talk about. Let's do a little update here on Senator Yee. This is awesome, and I so love it when a plan comes together the way this one has. But I have a copy here of the, at least it's supposed to be, a copy of the criminal complaint against Senator Yee. If you're just tuning in and been hiding under a rock for the last couple of weeks, Senator Leland Yee is the guy that is so rabidly anti-gun, California state senator, San Francisco area, that he's started all these introduced legislation to change AR-15s so that they take away some of the current features of the AR-15 to make it more difficult to change magazines and whatever. But anyway, the complaint now makes mention of organized crime ties, covert arms smuggling, and some special agents that helped bring this. This is definitely something right out of a Hollywood movie. And you can bet your sweet Bippy that there will absolutely be a movie of this in the not-too-distant future. I am very confident of that. Okay, so here's the qualifications here of the agent that is handling, a special agent handling all this, I guess. He, with the FBI, he says, "I've been so employed since August 2004. During my employment as a special agent, I have been tasked with domestic terrorism and organized crime investigations. Based on these investigations, I have gained experience in the use of law enforcement techniques, including the use of confidential sources, undercover operations, blah, blah, blah." Goes on down here. talks about all the wonderful things he's done and how good he is and how cool he is and all that. And that's good. I'm not going to argue with that. He's got a lengthy resume here. But this is part of the complaint. Now, here's the complainants here. The one was, remember we said the shrimp boy, Raymond Chow, 54-year-old Chinese citizen believed to reside in San Francisco. Criminal history includes guilty plea in federal court for racketeering involving murder for hire, conspiracy to distribute heroin, arson, and conspiracy to collect extensions of credit. Also has state felony convictions of robbery using a firearm and assault with a firearm on a person, and served time in state prison for both charges. Currently in this country waiting resolution of an application to get him out of here. So let's see. Let me get down here to the juicy part. Here we go. Leland Yin. I say that three times fast. Leland Yin Yi. Leland Yin Yi. Okay. Senator Lee. Former Senator Lee, 65-year-old U.S. citizen, believed to reside in San Francisco, currently represents California Legislative District 8. Let's see, further detail. We're involved in a scheme to defraud the citizens of California of their rights to honest services. Senator Yee and two others were involved in a conspiracy to traffic firearms. I believe that the facts detailed below are sufficient to demonstrate probable cause to believe that Senator Yee has violated the following criminal statutes. Title 18 of the United States Code, that would be wire fraud of honest services. Title 18, Section 371, 922A, conspiracy to deal firearms without a license and to illegally import firearms. And then it talks about a couple of other guys here that were involved in this. 24 others involved in this. What a racket they've got going here. Keep 24 people busy. But it looks like Senator Yee, I don't know how much money he's got or how much pull he's got now, but I'm thinking he may be going away for a while. We may not see Senator Yee here for a bit. And I think that's funny right there. I don't care who you are. All right. This is kind of an interesting story. Not a whole lot of information on this, but they, you know, Amy talked about a lady that was found pretty much mummified in her house, or being dead for, no, in a car actually, and was dead for something like 9 years before somebody found her. Well, here is a set of twins. I believe they were 63 years old, sitting in rocking chair or recliners, have been dead. They figure from the receipts and the unopened can of soda and several other things in the house there that they have been dead for 3 years. And they said that they were hermit types, didn't communicate much with family. Finally, after a period of time, family got worrying about them, and they went. One time, law enforcement went and had no reason to break the door down. Couldn't find anything wrong. Car in the yard, everything was fine. And so they left, and I guess maybe they should have gone in then. But they found them sitting, both of them sitting in a chair, been dead for 3 years. They don't know yet what killed them. There's no gunshot, no knife, no anything like that. But they're waiting on toxicology reports to see if they decided to poison themselves, you know, simultaneously, or what was going on there. So we'll kind of watch that and see if we find anything new about that. Let me roll down through the chat room. Let me see. Why in the world... What is wrong with our population in the chat room tonight? Unbelievable. Is my breath or what? I showered last night. Jeez, come on. You'll be kidding me. All right, let's go on there. And thank you guys that are showing up there. I see in the server thing there that there's quite a few born listening, just not in the chat room. Okay, let's look. There's a... Well, I may talk about this tonight if I run out of other things. Otherwise, I'll save this for tomorrow night. We have a gun-related thing that will fit in very well. Matter of fact, tomorrow night and Friday, the show will be brought to you live and in Technicolor from Schatz Ranch. Minnie just posted something there. Looks important, whatever it is. There's a lot of seismic activity going on, a lot of volcano and earthquake activity going on around the country. We talked a lot around the world. We talked quite at length last night about Yellowstone and about other, volcanoes and earthquakes that's been going on. There's something, the earthquake and several aftershocks in Los Angeles area. And it talked about the animals leaving, seem to be evacuating Yellowstone Park on their own because they seem to possibly have sensed something that we don't quite get. And it just a lot of stuff going on. So that if that doesn't make you ponder on your preparations and your exit strategy, hopefully you have some plan to abandon ship if you need to. This would be one of those things where everybody assumes that there's going to be a violent takeover of the United States and all this stuff, and they're saying I'm going to bug in shelter in place here and fight from where I'm at. I'm not leaving my home. I'm not, okay, rah, rah, rah. I understand all that. But I've also said that there are a few things that could make you leave. What about a gas attack where gas or a biological attack that you were made aware of? Are you just going to stand there and see if you can survive it? Or are you going to abandon ship? If you have, 10 million... screaming Chinese coming over the hill, you going to basically commit suicide and try to fight, or are you going to run and try to fight another day? Well, if for the exact reason that I left Wyoming, might be another reason that you might consider what your exit strategy is. How are you getting out if Yellowstone should blow? If something big happens in your area, or that will immediately affect your area, adversely affect your area in a short period of time, what are you going to do? Have you thought about that? I don't mean just in passing. Have you really thought about it? Do you have a plan? Have you written it down somewhere? That's going to be an important thing. If you, when this happens, there's going to be a lot of panic. Everybody will be running around like a chicken with a head cut off and not remember half of what you're supposed to be doing. So I think that it would be a good idea to put that in a, write it all down in order, in exact order of the sequence of events that you need to take place for you to get you out of there, and laminate it, get a couple of them, put one in the car, put one in your gear, and one on the wall or on the top of the refrigerator or in the bed nightstand or somewhere where you can get to it pretty easy, your gun safe maybe, and check it out. When you every once in a while look at it and say, okay, here's my three different scenarios. Here it is. We find out that Los Angeles, California has been decimated by an atomic bomb, and I'm only 100 miles from there, and this just happened. I need to get out of here, and I mean now. What's your plan? What are you taking with you? Have you already got that decided? Are you going to stand around and say, oh, I need to take that. You know, my mother gave it to me for my wedding. You know, this is something I want to give to the kids. Mm-hmm. All right, now does that do it? Sound back now? Looks like it's beating out. I don't know, look, my little sound card may be getting tired. So we'll, all right, here we go. Okay, now I'm not sure where you started losing me at, but I was talking about, you know, three different scenarios. You've got one that you got to get out right now. Let's say 30 minutes, an hour max. We got to put stuff in the truck and leave. Have you already got it wrote down somewhere where you know what you got to grab? You're going to grab it fast, throw it in the truck, and you're out of here. I guess you could add a fourth to that is, what if we have to leave on foot? What if you have to leave on foot and you got to leave now? What if you have an hour or so to get ready and you've got to get in the truck and take off? What if you have, you know, 4 to 6 hours from a catastrophe that has happened several hundred miles away, but because of prevailing winds or because of the hordes of people that are escaping this area, what is your strategy? What do you plan on doing? What do you plan on taking with you? How fast can you get out of here? Get your stuff in order. Worry about you know, pets, food, water, weapons, fuel, whatever it is. And then the last of the scenarios here. What if, we hear that the Chinese have landed on the West Coast, and here they come in vast quantities across there. They could be here in as little as 3 weeks. A week, 2 weeks, a month. You know, pick your time. What are you going to do? How are you planning on dealing with that? Are you going to go and join up with a bunch of like-minded people somewhere and try to hold an area? Are you going to go hole up somewhere by yourself? Are you going to go meet up with large group of people in a FEMA area or something like that? What are you going to do? You got plans for that? Have you got any idea? It's going to be bad enough since we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Hell, we don't even know close to what might happen. But if you don't have some kind of an idea of what you're going to do, then there's no use of you wasting time and money and calling yourself a prepper and telling everybody you've got all this, that, and the other thing to get you by if you don't know what you're going to do with it. Part of your prepping and part of your food storage and part of your being a prepper here involves planning. And you've got to, you have to have some kind of an idea, especially in those first two scenarios. You don't have time to sit around and say, oh, we should have thought about this. You know, Cope's mentioned that on the radio show several times, but I didn't really thought he was just a lunatic. And, I didn't really pay much mind to it. I didn't really think it happened in our lifetime. What if it does? What if it happens in your lifetime to you and your kids and your friends and your everybody else that you know? I would, I think it's not a bad idea to ponder on it. It's like, it's kind of like one of those things where you, you know, you ask somebody if they believe in God. They say no. Well, would it be better to not believe in God, but to act as if you did? Which means if you're wrong, no big deal. Nothing's going to happen. But if you're wrong, then at least you've lived the right life and you have the chance of being saved. If you're right, no harm, no foul. It's not going to make any difference. You've just been a good person for the remainder of your life. So if you prepare for this stuff and nothing happens, no harm, no foul. You have the preps, you have the food, you have all this stuff. You can either pass it on, you can eat it, you can give it away, sell it, throw it in the ocean, you know, whatever you do with it. So what? No big deal. But if by any remote possibility you say, all right, you know, that cope's a little off at time, but, you know, just in case, just to humor him so he won't single me out on the show and make fun of me here, let's go ahead and get a little bit of stuff. We'll put it back, and you know, we'll buy a book, and we'll take a class, and it'll all be over here in a few weeks, and you know, if something happens, fine. If it don't, well, whatever. So that's the way I see it. But I'm thinking in my feeble little mind here that, yes, we will see it in our lifetime. Said that many times. And what I've also said many times is that time for a break.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Bird stands in the corner with the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things gun. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Record Shop, Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're back. Looks like we've just got a tsunami warning issued for Chile and Peru after the 7.8 magnitude aftershock. They had an 8.2 earthquake yesterday, 7.8 aftershock today. That's a whole lot of shaking going on right there. We'll keep an eye on that. Let me check here and see if anything else is coming in. Actually, we did have something else come in. And we just had a donation come in for helping with the production of the Shooting Bench. You know who you are. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And all right. Let's continue to march here. Okay, Leland Yee. I talked about the Twins. Here is another deal. How many of these have we done over the years? So many, and it's so heartbreaking. And, you know, on the one hand, you can say, yeah, well, you know, it's frustrating and it's angering and everything. But, you know, in the end, Heavenly Father's going to take care of this problem. I would not want to be in some of these people's shoes. You know, the Christian school we talked about the other day and all that. Here he is, and we've had so many of these recently. This is a Texas couple. We just talked about one of these a couple of days ago. There's a 24-year-old man married to a 33-year-old woman. Been charged with one count each of felony child endangerment. They took their 5-year-old son, locked him in a closet under the stairs in Spring, Texas. That's just up north of Houston a little ways. And I've been to Spring many times. I actually did a little job over there when I was living in Houston. But the guy here, the Harris County constable of that precinct, said 28 years of law enforcement, never seen anything like it. This started when they responded to a disturbance call on the 27th of March, just a few days ago. When they got there, they found the 16-year-old son arguing on the front lawn about the abuse and neglect of this 5-year-old kid. During the investigation, they found the 5-year-old son had been forced to live in the closet under the stairs. How in the hell do people do this? How are you as an adult, especially a parent, how is it even possible to have that kind of mind? I so don't get that. But apparently they couldn't find the kid, but they said the child had been removed from the home by the stepmother prior to the cops getting there. Authorities said the couple were being uncooperative and repeatedly misled law enforcement to several different false locations. They finally followed up on they followed up on several locations, and they, fearing that the kid was in danger, they had worked with a cell phone provider there to attempt to locate the stepmother. And eventually, cell phone records led the police about 13 miles away into what is spelled as Humble, but is actually pronounced Humble, where investigators said they went door to door looking for the stepmother's vehicle. Eventually, they found the kid's father, the 24-year-old man, leaving a motel room. Inside, they said they found a 5-year-old victim and his stepmother. The 5-year-old had bumps and bruises, severely underweight. The child was transported to a local hospital, and Child Protective Services were called. That just is so heartbreaking to see so many of these types of stories. It's heartbreaking to see one. But this girl now is the 33-year-old woman is 6 months pregnant and has other children in addition to the 16-year-old boy. If she has a 16-year-old boy, that means she had to have that boy when she was 17 years old. And has 6 other kids. So it sounds like she enjoys making kids a whole lot more than she does taking care of them. She was released from jail after posting a $2,000 bond, which I vehemently disagree with. The man, however, is being held in jail without bond. So what makes her so special? Said they're pursuing upgraded charges against the couple for injury to a child after speaking to doctors about during the evaluation on the child. So, anyway, 5-year-old boy is still in the hospital, they say, and in the custody of CPS. I don't get it. Just don't get it. Let me see who looks like we've got some. What is mold spore saying that everybody's talking about on there? Oh, I see. I get it. All right. Let me look and see. We've got several people have dropped in here now. His aviator, I'm going to address your question publicly here in just a minute. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now, I think, because that is the end of that story. So let's go over what you asked me in private the other day. And that is, let me bring it up here and make sure that I get it right. And it was for manufactured 10mm ammo, what manufacturer and weight do you recommend for Bear? And what is my opinion of Hornady critical duty ammo? Well, the first question, obviously, is what kind of Bear? If you're talking about fishing in Alaska, then that's going to require a whole different line of thinking than if you're fishing in northern Arizona, where you have an extremely high probability of running into a decent-sized black bear. But a decent-sized black bear is nothing like a little bitty grizzly. So there's a whole lot of difference in the way they're built and their habits and how they attack and a number of different things. But even just nothing more than the very breed that they are, the species that they are, requires different bullets. I would not dream of using the same thing on a grizzly that is absolutely perfectly acceptable for black bear. And vice versa. So the ones that are the best for grizzlies may not be the best to have equal effect on a black bear. So that may not make much sense to you, but let me see if I can explain it to you. If you take a grizzly bear, just an average size adult, not a big monster, just an average adult grizzly, they are extremely heavily muscled, and they're simply just larger. It's deeper into the vitals than it is any black bear. I mean, even your record black bear, nothing like an average size grizzly. So obviously you want something that's going to make sure that it holds together and doesn't open up too soon and gets in there to where the vital organs are. You don't want a critical defense or critical duty or XTPs or XTP may not be the end of the world, but gold dots or anything like that that's going to start opening up pretty much on contact and maybe run out of gas before it gets to the boiler room. But the average size black bear, now I'm not talking about a big, you know, the biggest record ever recorded black bear. I'm talking about just your average black bear that you're likely to run into. Other than being a little more heavily muscled, I would feel comfortable shooting a black bear with anything that I would use for self-defense in the gun that I carry every day. Because the average black bear is going to be like kind of like a good-sized, heavily muscled man. And if you got enough gun for a 250 to 300 pound angry muscled up man with a leather jacket on, you've got plenty enough for a bear. It's a matter of where you place the shot. So a lot of people say, well, I shot that bear, you know, this many times and nothing happened. Well, there's nothing happened because you didn't shoot him in the right place. That's all that amounts to. So Casper got what's Casper? And where are you going, Casper? What do you need that for? You got some solid core stuff. Solid core stuff would be fine for grizzly and polar bears. Lions, you know, not mountain lions. I mean, African lions. You know, bigger, heavier tigers and stuff like that. If you're going to hunt with, especially with any handgun, you know, a solid core is not a bad idea. I would rather have well, depending on the ammo. If you look at, you know, well, we're getting into rifle territory there. I'm not going to be hunting elephants and rhinoceros and stuff with a 10 millimeter. But for a grizzly bear, the very least that I would want to do is a good, well-constructed, bonded soft point. Something that will enter and stay together without deforming too bad until it gets deeper. It opens up gradually. Actually, it doesn't open up at all. It just will mushroom, expand a little bit. And I think that would be ideal. My next choice would be a flat point solid in a 44 Magnum, or, well, even I know one company that makes them for 10 millimeter, and that's what they call a wide flat nose. Make sure that it feeds well in your gun. If it's a Glock, it probably will. And that way you get deep penetration and tissue destruction at the same time. Not as much tissue destruction as a soft point or a hollow point, but some. With a black bear, whatever. Any decent quality hollow point, soft point, I would probably rather not use a solid against black bear, because like I said, they're, you know, most of them are not any bigger, some of them not as big as a good sized heavily muscled man. So when you start shooting solids, you may wind up with entrance and exit, and if you don't hit in the right place, you may not get the damage and the effectiveness that you're hoping for, especially for an attacking bear. Now, if you're hunting a bear and everything is in your favor, that's a little bit different story. But if he's attacking, then that's another thing altogether. Where to shoot the black bear? Well, even with a black bear being much smaller, and particularly with a handgun, you probably don't want to try to make a headshot. Now, if they are running towards you and the mouth happens to be open and they're, you know, maybe that would be okay if you're calm, cool, and collected enough to place that shot. But to make a headshot, because of the slope of their head and the heaviness of the bone, a lot of calibers will slide off of that. Even some of the more powerful ones. So if he's on all fours and facing you, then remember that the hair is pretty thick. You don't want to get too low. You don't want to go any lower than about two-thirds down from the back. Or if you're not able to estimate that because the head's in the way, then a third up from the bottom of the hair, bottom of what you see, what you think is the bottom of the chest. A third of the body length up from there, and you'll be pretty good. If he's sideways, again, you're looking at broadside, then you want to divide that up pretty equally into thirds and shoot into the not much lower than that one-third line, because, you know, you've got, on especially in winter, and some of these bears, you may have 3 and 4 inches of hair on there. And if you get too low, you're going to go through that brisket. You might nick an organ, but you want to make sure you get solidly up into the heart and lung area. And on a big bear, you don't want to shoot behind the shoulder unless you're shooting something bigger than a 10 millimeter, because you got some very heavy bone in that shoulder, and you may wind up upsetting him terribly by doing that and getting in that shoulder bone. So you either want to do it as the animal steps forward, so that you get in behind that leg, right where the leg was before he stepped forward, ideally. Otherwise, I would simply wait. Now, making a neck shot on a bear is kind of risky business because of the heavy hair. You've got to be pretty well, you want to be just a little above center. But you gotta kind of pay attention to which way the head is turned and pointed, and whether or not he's looking up, looking down, or whatever, because you can easily mortally wound that bear, but not enough to keep him from mortally wounding you. If you're, you know, if he finds out you did that and it pisses him off, then he may take exception to it. And from the side up a third, and in the front third, I would say in the front quarter, Casper Mountain. If it were me, I'd probably divide that up into fourths and try to get into that front quarter right immediately behind where the front leg would be if he were standing square like a show horse. And when he takes a step forward with that near side leg, then you want to slip it right in behind the shoulder, right where that bone would have been had he not stepped. And that ought to get you in there in real good shape. It's even worse if he happens to be in everybody's worst nightmare. If he happens to be up on all twos, standing up on his back legs and close to you, then you remember you've got a lot of hair on there. When you shave these things off, believe it or not, they don't look terribly unlike a man in some regards. When you get all that hair off, you know, that animal is 8 inches narrower than what he looks, depending on, you know, the breed of the bear and the time of the year. But he could be 7-8 inches, maybe even a little more, narrower than what you see. So you want to make sure that you're getting centered up pretty well. If you try to get off to the side just a little to make sure you get into the heart or something, you may actually get too far out there because of the hair. So center it up pretty well and get it on a line pretty well between what you think are the two pivot points of the shoulder, and you'll be pretty cotton picking close to where you need to be. So to get it done as fast as you can. Now, in the upper third, you're right about that. From the diaphragm up is probably about the upper third of the torso. But to get into the lower part of the diaphragm as the animal's standing, he's probably going to die. And probably not too long, but it's not going to be right away. You're going to need to get a little higher than that to where you're solidly through the lungs and hopefully in the hard aorta area somewhere in there. And the same thing from the side. If you get too low or too high in there, yeah, you may clip a lung, but that's not going to be enough. As I've told you numerous times on this show, it doesn't hurt to get shot. And aside from hearing the noise and him thinking that maybe something's not right, that's not going to keep him from eating you for lunch before he expires, even if you make a halfway decent shot. Now, that's in a self-defense situation. That's in the that's in a situation where he is, you know, coming in camp. He has approached your freshly killed elk that you got out there. Then that could be certainly an issue. And polar bear, roughly the same thing, except polar bear hair, I think, is even thicker. But, you know, old Tom Bolak shot the world record polar bear. He was world record for a long time. It's been beat now. But he killed that one with a single shot from a 270. A 270 is not exactly... This bear, buddy, was big. I've seen it. I've been right up next to it. And it's a lot of bear. And a 270 would not have been my first choice. However, if you ask Carmichael, 270 is good for pretty much anything in the world, barring elephants and rhinos and hippos. And but old Tom shot that, and if I recall, it was one shot. He killed. Well, he used a lot of different weapons, but primarily he hunted a lot of stuff with his old 270. When he was still alive, I was out at his house, and he had an old Winchester 22-250 standing behind the door, loaded and ready to go, and he used it to kill dogs and coyotes and stuff that come onto his place from right there from the kitchen window. He was a remarkable marksman, and he had, when he was still alive, I had talked to him one time and asked him what he'd spent, and he said, "I don't know, but I have spent roughly $1 million just on licenses. That's not counting travel, guides, guided hunts, tips, gun bearers, food, all the other stuff, taxidermy, all the stuff goes. There's no telling how many $1 million he's got in taxidermy in there. What a huge, absolute enormous. It is the largest single privately owned collection of game animals in the world. It is huge. Amazing place. I've been, I don't know how many times I've been there. My first time I went there is when I was 13 years old, I think it was. I was in Cub Scouts, I believe. And it was neat then, but the museum then was actually part of his house. And big house, I'm talking huge. But after I went, you know, for several more years, he continued to hunt and bring home, you know, more animals. There were animals abroad at the time when I was there, taxidermied, getting stuffed that hadn't been shipped yet. What an amazing man to talk to he was back in the day. He was a guy that had two coyotes that rode around the back of his pickup in town with him. And quite a guy. As a matter of fact, it's about break time here. I may go and see if I can find... I think I have some pictures of that showroom. And he's got it set up to where it looks like a lot of those animals are in their natural environment. The inside of this showroom is probably it's probably 4-5 stories high, and about half of it is open vaulted ceilings all the way up. I mean, there's trees in there and everything that makes it look like you're, for all the world, somewhere in Australia or Africa or wherever the animal may have come from. It looks very much like they're in their, many of them, in their natural environment. So I will, I'll check here and see if I can find that. Let me go to a break here. And I'll see if I can find some pictures of that for you. So stand by here just a second. And let me move that and change this. And poof!
I'll be back. place every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rotten command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come to us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day.
The lights and the fiber.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. Of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct cowbum every time you turn the radio on, join Colt Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard
makes your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
The folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song, Dixie, for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, let's come back and finish this up here. Guess what I found? While we was on the break here, I was looking for a couple of things to show you, and I actually have a picture of that polar bear that I was telling you about. Click on that picture right there, and there's really not much to compare it to, but I can't really tell you how high the wall is right there, but nevertheless, that is a world record polar bear right there. It was world record for some time, killed with a single shot from a 270 Winchester. Alright. Now then, look at this one. This is what I was telling you. Check this out. Click on this and blow it up and look at it in full size. This is just a very small portion. This is not even a quarter of the inside of that. Not even a quarter. It's not even 20% of the inside of that showroom, that animal. So you look at the trees. You can see the leopard sitting in the tree. You can't hardly see them in this small picture, but there's little native birds and stuff in there. And you can see the orangutans down there at the bottom, and the water buffalo over there on the left. It's not an ibex. What is that? Oryx over there against the wall, left of the tree. You can see all the different things. And then you got all the heads mounted on the walls all the way around there. So that's probably to the top of that ceiling right there is probably four stories high. Amazing trophy room there. Quite the spectacle to see there. And I have one other one. Let me go get it here. I saw it just a minute ago. Stay with me a minute. It's going to take me a second to find it. I saw it. I should have grabbed it when... Okay, here we go. This is another very small portion of this room. And Casper Mountain, sometime when you like to travel and go look at stuff, I would highly recommend that one of these days you just take off and go to Farmington, New Mexico, just for lack of anything better to do, and call old Tommy Bolak right there when you're there. And I don't know where the shot was placed on that polar bear. I would have to guess that it was probably a good solid heart shot, but that's knowing Tom. But okay, now that one there, if you'll click on that one, that is me and Amy and Kelly and a little friend of hers, and this is in another portion of the trophy room there, and you see the bamboo and everything in that. And if you at first glance, that looks a little scary. I mean, these animals are in their natural environment right there. all kinds of stuff. You can safely, easily spend. Of course, it's a guided deal, but when you get to the end of it, you know, you're free to kind of limited wandering around there without supervision. But there's some things that you can do without having the guide with you. And the thing about this is, it is absolutely free. And it is in the will and the trust or whatever that it is to remain free forever. They are to never charge a dime. This is strictly for education and for education and enjoyment for kids and whoever else. And no one is ever to pay, nor do they accept donations. This is this is old Tom Bolak when he died. Tom Bolak had more money than Carter's Got Little Liver Pills. He can he was not lacking in any manner for stuff. So neat place, a lot of fun. So of all the things that you can see in San Juan County, New Mexico, it's not a bad thing to plan a trip out there. Go and see Aztec Ruins, which is only 20 miles from Bolak's place there. Go and see Mesa Verde, the ruins up there. Takes you about an hour and a half, maybe, to get there from Farmington. Go south, go to Chaco Canyon, less than an hour away. Go out, and if you go in the summer, go out to Navajo Dam and do some fishing. Go and see Salmon Ruins, which is less than 10 minutes from Bolak's place there. There you can go and spend 3 or 4 or 5 days around there if you wanted to, and never lack for. There's a reptile garden up there between Cortez and Durango, Colorado, on that straight highway in between there. There's go and ride the train. Go to Durango and get on the narrow gauge train. It's a train that looks just exactly, runs the same way as the one in Gunsmoke does. And you go and ride that train, it goes up the most awesome trail along the river there. Most places, now you do actually cross the highway a couple of times, but most times it is that, you know what? Let me, while we're reminiscing here, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut here that I have got a picture of us on that train. Let me go see. I took the kids on that thing once upon a time, and I think I took it. I do, by golly. Am I awesome or what? Here is one picture where I was going around the corner and I leaned out the deal there and took this picture. Check that out. If that ain't cool, I don't know what is. Yeah, at Casper Mountain, that doesn't surprise me a bit. Kodiak and the polar bears, they're kind of lanky, but boy, they've got some height to them. But there's a picture of that narrow gauge train. It runs on coal, just like they did 100 and some odd years ago. And this is exactly the same train that was running that carried people back in the late 1800s. So you can go and spend a week there and never lack for anything to do. You can spend your last day resting and hanging around farming. There's museums everywhere around there. There's mining museums and oil field museums and wildlife museums and Indian ruins and good fishing. Great place to go spend a week. I would strongly recommend it. It's kind of one of those things that's not widely advertised. If you're going in the fall, you know, put in for deer around there in that area somewhere. There's lots of nice mule deer in that country, so you could do a lot of stuff there. All right, let me see here. There was a story that, and I'm not sure. This is the 31st of March. Doesn't appear to be an April Fool's joke. This is a little creepy, I guess. And here are in Harvard University, they found three books in there. Three books in Harvard that are actually bound in human skin, human flesh. A few years ago, three separate books were discovered in Harvard University's library that had a particularly strange-looking leather covers. Upon further inspection, it was discovered that the smooth binding was actually human flesh. In one case, skin harvested from a man who was skinned alive. And that's what made the binding of this book. As it turns out, the practice of using human flesh to bind, they say flesh, they're talking skin, to bind books was actually pretty popular during the 17th century. It's referred to as anthropodermic bibliopigy or something like that, and proved pretty common when it came to anatomical textbooks. Medical professionals would often use the flesh of cadavers that they dissected during their research. Waste not, want not, I guess. Harvard's creepy books deal with Roman poetry, French philosophy, and a deal on medieval Spanish law, for which the previously mentioned flayed skin was used. The inscription inside this book says the book's 794th and final page includes an inscription in purple cursive. Quote, the binding of this book, binding they spell B-Y-N-D-I-N-G, and book they spell B-O-O-K-E. The binding of this book is all that remains of my dear friend Jonas Wright, who was flayed alive by the Wayoma on the 4th day of August, 1632. King Mabessa did give me the book, being one of poor Jonah's chief possessions, together with ample of his skin to bind it. According to the director of University Libraries, Sidney Verba, 53, there might even be more of the creepy flesh books out there, but while it's possible to touch the three identified books in Harvard's rare book room, the librarians aren't exactly fond of all the attention they've received lately, for obvious reasons. In fact, they've made it a point not to actively seek any more of these volumes. If you decide to head to Harvard and check out the books for yourself, don't... it says don't read them out loud. We all know how it ends. So there you go. All right. Kind of weird there. All right. Yeah, dated the wrong guy's daughter. That's a point. That's a fact. All right, guys, I think I've had all the fun I can stand. I need to go. I got to get ready to go to Schott's Ranch tomorrow. Still got a lot of stuff to do. So if you will forgive me for bowing out just a few minutes early, I would appreciate it. We'll be back here in the morning with Amy's show again. And tomorrow night with the all gun-related. I do have a gun-related issue I was trying hard not to do tonight, because I wanted to save it for tomorrow night. And as it turned out, we got off track enough times that it kept us from using up all of our material. So, there you have it. And we'll see you in the morning. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.